Today we're starting a new sermon series titled Address the Mess. And we're going to start, this will be a three-part series. We're going to start today, sermon title will be The Mess in the Mirror. I think we can all agree that every one of us at some point in time in our lives find ourselves in a situation that we really wish we weren't in. Whether it's something that we caused ourselves by decisions that we've made, or whether it's something that just crashed into our lives and we're like, why am I dealing with this? How did I get here? You know, for instance, relational issues, marital issues, issues of anger, issues of bad decisions, maybe academics, maybe it's health. All of a sudden you're dealing with something you never thought you'd be dealing with. You know, there are issues in our lives that get messy. And that's what we're going to talk about. How do we address that? Also, here's another one. Maybe you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, I'm a mess. Maybe it's self-esteem issues. Maybe it's feelings of inadequacy. Maybe there were things that were said to you at an early age and you can't shake them because you just feel like you're never going to measure up and I'm just not worthy of anything because I'm a mess. Or maybe you're sitting here and you're like, hey, I don't need to come to church for the next couple of weeks because I'm in a good place right now. Well, we call that blessed. We call that in-between messes. So hang tight, you know. But there's something in here for you too. Amen? So really, no matter where each one of us are at in life, we can all agree that life gets messy. But isn't it funny how when we see people in our lives that are in certain situations, we have a tendency to critique the way they're dealing with it. We have a tendency to critique their character or critique how they got there. We become a little judgmental. Maybe we say to our other friends, I can't believe they finished the sentence. If it were me, I would have never finished the sentence. Right? It's kind of like, it's almost like it's a part of our nature to kind of be like, whew, I'm glad that's not me. But if it was me, I would have, or I would have never. You know, we become critical of people around us. And oftentimes when we find out the backstory as to why somebody is in a situation or why somebody is the way they are, you know, maybe they've just got an abrasive personality, or maybe they're never happy to be around, or maybe they're just, their life is always spiraling out of control. But then you find out a little bit about them. Maybe a little bit about their past. Maybe a little bit about how they've been treated. Maybe a little bit about how some things that they have dealt with in their life that has caused them to be like this. And then it brings out maybe a little more compassion for that person. We have a little more sympathy for where they're at or why they are the way they are. At least I hope that's what we do. I personally believe that if we can go through life as believers in Jesus, I think we have to do this. But it's hard. But if we go through life looking past the exterior of a person, looking past that rough outer shell that we come in contact with daily, and we see who they are as a creation of God's, we can see them for a human being. We can see them for somebody who's going through things in life. And we can also hear from the Holy Spirit and get a little bit of an insight maybe as to how we can maybe help them. You know, I believe that when we look past that exterior of a person and we see them as one of God's creation, because listen, no matter how rough and gruff and abrasive somebody is, God absolutely adores them. And God expects us to treat others the way he treats us. So if we can look past that, I believe the Holy Spirit will work with that and he'll give us a little bit of insight. For instance, we'll have a conversation with them and we might pick up something, maybe something from their past, maybe something that recently happened. And if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, he'll give you a little word. He'll give you something to work with. And you can begin praying for them. Or maybe you can find another opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I was once in your situation, and here's how God helped me. So I'm just throwing that out there. I believe that when we see a person as a creation of God, as another human being that just may be hurting, may have some baggage in their lives that they didn't ask for, that the Holy Spirit can use us to help them. Because the truth of the matter is, we need each other, right? We're human beings. We crave human interaction. Whether you're an introvert or not, we crave human interaction. God designed us that way. And so we need the people around us. We need everybody that we come in contact with. And, you know, the thing about God is, he's been dealing with messy situations since the beginning of time. Think about it. He creates Adam, and then he creates all the animals and everything else in the Garden of Eden, and then he says it's not good for man to be alone, so he creates a woman for her, the man and the woman. And he says, you two can have everything I have for you right here in this garden. You can eat of all the trees. You can, you know, everything you can. Just stay away from that one tree. Well, what happened? They went to that tree. The serpent, Satan, tempted them, and they ate from that tree. God had to come and fix the mess that they created for mankind. You know, God's good at fixing our messes. The question is, are we good at allowing him in to fix the mess? So God's been dealing with messy situations since the beginning of time. So he sent his son, Jesus, to address the mess that mankind had found themselves in. And those that knew that there was this coming Messiah, those that knew of a Savior that was going to come, the Son of God, they expected him to come with lightning bolts and judgment. They expected him to come as a conquering king. Well, in the Old Testament, there were prophecies about this coming Messiah, but they were twofold. One was a suffering servant, the Lamb of God, and another was a conquering king, the Lion of Judah. Well, the Lamb of God was to come first, the suffering servant who takes away the sins of the world. The conquering king, Jesus, that's when he returns to set up his kingdom. Here, that's what we're waiting for, right? But they missed that. They were expecting lightning bolts and judgment, and when the Son of God arrived, he threw everybody out of whack because he brought something they were not expecting. He brought something called grace. Nobody was expecting that. Unconditional love, grace. Jesus came to this earth to reveal to mankind the love that God the Father had for them. And the thing about grace is that oftentimes we miss it. Why do we miss grace? Well, I think there's a few reasons. One of them is we just got so much going on in our heads that we can't receive it from God because we're too busy trying to fix things ourselves. Or maybe we're too busy critiquing everybody around us because I would have never done it like that, and I can't believe they, and I would have never, and if I was in their shoes. We're so busy telling everybody else how they should be living their lives, we can't receive any grace from God. Or what I think is almost the biggest factor is we don't feel worthy to receive the grace that God has for us. We look at ourselves in the mirror and we see a mess, unable to receive the grace that God has. Well, the truth of the matter is none of us are worthy of the grace that Jesus has to offer. None of us are. And that's what we're going to look at today. So what we're going to look at today is in Romans chapter 3. If you want to turn with me there. Romans chapter 3, we're going to read a little bit and discuss a little bit. But in chapter 3, this is a book, a letter written to the Church of Rome. And it gets a little wordy, but not enough that we can't understand it. But in the beginning of chapter 3, there's a man named Paul who wrote most of the New Testament, and he wrote this letter to the Church of Rome, to the Romans. And he starts out in chapter 3 by talking about God's faithfulness and how faithful God is to mankind. And then he goes into this no one is righteous discussion. And then he lands in verse 19, he says this. So he's talking about how none of us are righteous and And then he says this, Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. So we're under a law. That's just a fancy way of saying that there is a law and every single one of us is under it. For instance, if your mortgage for your house or your rental agreement, if you're renting, you know, there's a contract that you signed for that agreement. Well, that contract is over you. You are under the obligations of that contract. If you get a loan from the bank, you sign on the line. You are under the conditions of that loan, the obligations of that loan. That loan is over you. So that's what Paul is saying here. He is saying that, listen, there is a law. Whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. That's us. And in this context right here, you know, we are talking about God's laws, God's standards, the things that God holds us accountable to. As believers in Jesus, there are standards that he holds us to. For instance, God wants us to treat others the way he treats us. Think of the unconditional love that God shows you. Is that the same love that you show people in your life? Maybe this one, and that one, but that person over there, man, I don't even, right? It's tough. It can be tough. But that's a law, that's a standard that God has. And he's very specific about this. But here's the deal. These laws, these standards that God gives us, they're not to keep us in line. They are to set us free. You see, the more we read the Word of God, this living, breathing Word of God, the more freedom we get in our lives. Because we start to understand, if I do what the Word says, there's freedom in my life. Also, you'll find yourself in not so many messy situations. But the thing that we all have in common is that we all fall short of this law, of God's standards. You know, not one of us can measure up to the standards that God has for us. That's why he sent his son, Jesus. That's why he introduced grace. That's why he introduced mercy. Because we need that. You know, for instance, all throughout life, what is it, a saying that you've heard, probably have said it, when you're being held accountable to something or maybe compared to somebody, we have a tendency to say, yeah, but nobody's perfect. Has anybody heard that phrase before? We say, nobody's perfect. Oh, how do you expect me to do that? Nobody's perfect. How can I be like them? Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. You're right. None of us are perfect. But we understand as human beings, whether we are believers in Jesus or not, that there is a level of perfection that we'll never attain. But we put a weight on ourselves because we feel that we need to attain that level of perfection. But listen, we'll never make it. We'll never get there. And so the second half of verse 19 says this. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Well, that makes you feel comfortable, doesn't it? I mean, why am I guilty? Well, I'm a good person. I come to church. Next week, I'm going to move my clock forward, and I'm going to get up early and be here on time, right? I mean, why am I guilty? Why does the Bible say that I am guilty before God? I mean, I don't even like the sounds of that. But being guilty is another way of saying you are being held accountable to God's standards, being held accountable. For instance, if I break a law, well, if I'm speeding and I get pulled over, I am held accountable to the speed limit on that section of road. I am guilty of breaking that law. And that's kind of what this is saying. We are held accountable before God. it still says that every mouth may be stopped. I'm still not comfortable with what this verse is saying, right? Like usually when we want somebody's mouth to be stopped, we tell them to shut up, quiet, stop talking. Well, here's what that means, okay? There's good news in everything that comes with the word, even when we struggle with it. The point of this is that our mouths would be silenced. Silenced from what? That we would not utter a word of judgment to those around us that we see struggling in life. That's hard to do sometimes, right? The reason that the Bible says that is because we are all held accountable to the same laws of God. We are all held to the same standards. For instance, Jesus had some very strong words when it came to judging others, when it comes to looking down your nose at the situation that somebody else finds themselves in, is what he's talking about here. Here's what Jesus said: you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use to judge is the standard by which you will be judged. I think, in other words, if you are going to accept the unconditional love that Jesus has for you, you should be able to offer that same unconditional love to those around you. That's what that means. Again, the whole world, whether we realize it or not, is held accountable to God's laws, to God's standards, God's ways. And we're all guilty of not measuring up. We're all guilty. That's why Jesus died on that cross for us, so that we could receive his grace, that we could receive his mercy. But let's see what else Paul has to say here in verse 20. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better, right? Like, okay, good. So I'm guilty. I'm guilty before God. But then he says, listen, you're in good company, because nobody can be made right by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. That's all it does. God's ways, God's standards, God's commands are there to show us that, listen, you're not going to measure up. But that's what Jesus came for. Not one of us in this room can say, I have attained the righteousness of God's perfection. I don't think so. Anybody here bold enough to say that? If you are, I would keep that to yourself. But it is through the law that we become conscious of our sin. It is through the law that we become conscious of our sinful nature. We become conscious of the things that we ought not be doing anymore. Right? Because remember, well, not remember, but when we find ourselves in a mess, I think a lot of us can agree, myself particularly, years and years and years and years and more years of bad decisions. And finally, I listened to the voice of Jesus that was been whispering to me for years, and I turned around and allowed him to change my life. It is the mess that we find ourselves in that makes us turn around and say, I need you, Jesus. I need a way out of this. I can't do this on my own. And maybe you've been a believer for many, many years, and you can relate to that. Maybe you're just checking this church out, and you're like, I'm not too sure why I'm here, but, you know, I kind of like the music. I like what I'm hearing. Maybe you're here today, and you haven't even made a commitment to Jesus yet. But no matter where we are in life, or the messes that we find ourselves in, God is saying, I can get you out of that. Because there isn't a person on this earth who has attained the level of perfection that Jesus is at, that God is at. And that's good. That's the good news. That's the good news, because if you're a person that looks in the mirror and you say, I am never going to measure up to whatever. I am this. I am that. Look around you right now. You are in good company, because that is all of us. Amen? You see, it is the law that awakens our conscience that tells me maybe I'm not as quick to forgive when I should. Maybe I need to love the people around me a little bit more, a little bit better. Maybe I need to learn to look past that abrasive exterior of that person and see them as a creation of God. Maybe the anger issue is getting out of control. Maybe the sites I'm visiting on the internet are going out of control. Maybe I need to pay more attention to my children or my spouse, you know, whatever it is. It's the law of God that makes us more conscious of the things that we ought to be doing or should not be doing. And these are uncomfortable things to face. There's no doubt about that. But we can hide how we are around everybody else, but we can't hide anything from God. So that's the thing. Just be honest with Him about what you're going through. And He'll fix you up. He's a gracious, loving, gentle Father that wants nothing better than to see His creation walking in the identity that He created them to be. And when we do some self-reflection, we can look at the things that need changed in our lives, and we can experience the law of God for what it is intended to do. What is the law of God intended to do? Well, it's not meant to bring condemnation. It's not meant to bring heapfuls of guilt. It's not. That's not God. God brings conviction. God brings change. The enemy brings condemnation. The enemy brings guilt. The law is a mirror and a reminder. A mirror and a reminder of what? Well, skip down to verse 23. The law is a mirror and a reminder that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us can attain that level of perfection. When it comes to falling short of God's laws, God's standards, that's all of us. Every single one of us. So we're in good company. We all fall short of the glory and the perfection that God is. And I'll close it with this. It is the awareness of our mess, right? We find ourselves in this situation and we're like, ah, what do I do now? You know, I'm really in it now. It is the awareness of our mess that awakens us to something outside of us to which we are accountable to. And really, that's God saying, hey, I can help you. And you're like, I need help. The beauty of this conclusion, when we finally come to it, is that God has awakened our spirits to the fact that there is someone outside of ourselves to whom we are accountable to. That's God. Sometimes we might think that's our conscience, but that's God pressing in. You know, there's a famous Christian author by the name of C.S. Lewis, and he wrote something very similar to what we just talked about here. And this is what drove him to become a believer in Jesus. But here's what he said, C.S. Lewis. There is something above and beyond the ordinary facts of men's behavior, and yet quite definitely real, a real law, which none of us made, but which we find pressing on us. The pressure that we cannot escape is God's gracious presence trying to get our attention in the midst of a mess. Just nudging us, slowly, easily pressing into us, trying to get our attention. And that pressure is not God pressuring us to become better people. He's not concerned about us becoming better people until he's concerned about getting us out of the mess. We'll become better people once we start adhering to his ways. It's pressing us so that we would acknowledge and recognize God. That we would no longer be judgmental and critical of those around us. But that we would be silenced in the presence of God, realizing that there is a level of perfection we'll never attain, but that there is grace and mercy freely offered to us. And it is in the midst of our mess that God gets our attention, and we acknowledge his gracious, loving presence helping us out of that situation. And here's the thing. God never turns a blind eye to the things that we do and the messes that we find ourselves in. You know, we can't use and abuse the grace that he has to offer. There are always consequences. But I would rather have a loving Father in heaven help me through my mess and through my consequences than have to deal with them on my own and not rely on my Creator. So it is through grace that he gives us the wisdom and the resources to get through life. And it is the grace offered by Jesus that draws us closer to him and brings us to a point of understanding that it is Jesus that we need and him alone. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, for the fact that not one person in this room can attain the level of perfection, Lord God, that you're at, but that your grace, your mercy gets us through that. That your word, your law, your ways, your standards show us that it's okay. It's okay that we don't measure up. So God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love and for your grace. And with that, we pray all these things in Jesus' name.